the TurboPass USA podcast,
bringing you conversations with industry leaders and influencers.
And welcome back to another episode of the TurboPass USA podcast. We are back at it again with another fun, exciting episode. And as usual, I've got my favorite co-host and co-pilot here with me, Mr. Ken Jarman. Say hello, Ken.
Hello, community of TurboPass USA podcast.
And we like to remind Ken as we begin not to be bashful and to feel free to ask any questions to our special guests that we have on the show today. And that is my segue into my introduction for our very special guest today on the TurboPass USA podcast. Joining us is Mr. Jeff Griffith. And Jeff is out in Alpharetta, Georgia, as we were just discussing prior to the beginning of this podcast, in beautiful Georgia, of course. And it's my understanding that Mr. Griffith here is currently an employee of Triton Auto Group. And prior to that, was an employee of another little small company called CarMax that no one's ever heard of, right? And the other cool thing about Jeff, and this is definitely worth mentioning, is that Jeff is also an advisory board member for TurboPass. So, Mr. Jeff, welcome to the TurboPass USA podcast, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are very excited to have you joining us, and we'd like to learn a little bit more about you and learn about your background. As customary on our show, we like to highlight different people from different walks of life, all of which tend to have some type of a connection to TurboPass. So if you don't mind, in your own words, can you introduce yourself and give us an overview of your current role and your current responsibilities and what you're up to these days?
Certain. Glad to be a part of the advisory board. I've been a big fan of the TurboPass products for many years in my prior life at CarMax, but currently I serve as the vice president of Triton Automotive Financial Services here. So the big question is, because we are the biggest dealer group that you've never heard of because of how Triton Auto is structured. So let me give you just a little bit of a background. Think about Triton Auto, who we are, how we came. You've got the traditional models that you may be very familiar with, and we'll just use AutoNation as an example. You get an AutoNation, you get a couple of guys with big rolls of money who are interested into the car business. They go out and they start acquiring dealerships. They brand them all AutoNation, run them centrally. Really great organization, right? So you get the economies of scale that you get with having a large organization, but you know, they're going out and buying up the dealerships and they run them their way. Okay. That's kind of the model for them. Triton is a whole lot different. Our tagline here is by dealers for dealers. And what that means is you take a group of dealers who initially got together and formed a Triton Automotive, and they were looking to get the economies of AutoNations of the world's head, that the Lithias of the world, some of the other signs, the big publics that are out there. How can we get the economies of scale that these guys have? Well, the only way we can do it without selling out to some of the big players out here, the big publics, is we can combine forces and we can build a management company that will go and provide these white label products and services and negotiate contracts and things on our behalf. But we will still own our own dealerships, right? They will still have our names on them. We'll still run them our way, but we will own the management company, which on our behalf, we'll go out and do all of the big publics to central. That's how I got involved in this a couple of years ago after I had retired from CarMax after 23 years. These folks are interested in building a finance channel like what CarMax is. Not quite as closed loop as what CarMax is, because it is, you know, completely organic, everything internally. Don't use Route 1, don't use dealer track, don't do any of these things. They literally build everything themselves. All the activity between the stores and the finance sources and these kind of things. But the thing that makes it work so well is the partners who are going to be on your platform, and you get to earn fees and this kind of thing from the folks that are on your platform. These people are very interested in that. So they had a couple of different ideas, a couple of things they wanted to explore, all the ways to build your own finance company, to engaging somebody to do a white label finance company for us, to the bare minimum, which is where we started, which was just enter into some relationships with a handful of finance companies and start trying to concentrate contract volumes with them to not only earn a fee on having them on the platform, but to also start building those relationships and, as I like to call it, get more and better out of each of the finance sources that you have there. Because the more business that you do with somebody, the more they're likely to do for you. So that's where I came in. Because, you know, look, when you work at CarMax, you are typically everybody's largest customer, right? You are the biggest one out there on the block. So I had a leg up there in being able to get to the right people at the right finance companies to get introduced to this whole concept of Triton Auto and what that might look like. So they hired me out of retirement. I stay retired about 60 days. I did not get to improve my golf handicap at all, even though I was only 4 and 5 feet. They drove me right back out, put me right back to work. But it's been great fun. We've gone from having our original 8 dealer groups, and now I've got 16 dealer groups that we represent here with the management company. We've literally doubled in size. And we actually sat down and put pen to paper here about a month ago, looking at the automotive news reports on number of sales, number of retail. And when I said we are the largest dealer group you've never heard of, we actually placed in both rooftops, number of rooftops, and total number of sales every year, number 6 in the nation.
Wow.
But nobody's ever heard of us.
Not too shabby.
It's awesome.
Not too shabby at all. So, you know, the great thing about Triton is, you know, this is by invitation only. More I like to equate us to, or, you know, people a frame of reference, but the most exclusive Costco that you could join. So unless one of the founding members reaches out to you as a dealer group owner and says, look, we would like to invite you to come talk to the management company to see if you're in being a part of Triton, then you don't get it. It's just as simple as that, because at the end of the day, the founding members all want to make sure the people who are part of our group or people that they can get along with on a daily basis, people who do business the way that they like. Yes. Everything is above board. Everything is with people well respected in their communities and all these kinds of things. So it's been a great thing for us. And I am thrilled to death 2.5 years later to be here and doing this. And we just added our finance company to our preferred lender roster this week, as a matter of fact. So, you know, we've gone from nothing to five and are seeing a great and of what we're trying to do here from the teams at the stores. So it's all going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Sounds like a pretty productive retirement, first and foremost, for you. And second of all, I'm really impressed with the whole, it's kind of like you guys are kind of a humble giant over there. You know, you're bigger than what people realize, but you're still kind of somewhat low key about it. But you're moving behind the scenes there, making some big moves, right?
That's exactly right.
That's really
great
exciting. Really cool stuff. How about this, Jeff? Take me back to the very beginning of your career. Were you always an auto industry guy? Did you do some other stuff? What did that look like? How did your career evolve from the very, very early stage of that? And how did you kind of get into this? If it wasn't the very beginning, then how did you lead up to getting into the auto industry?
Well, I'll be happy to tell you, because I'm not a young man anymore. So it was a long time ago. So let me see. Well, I can recall this. So I went in the military in 1984, joined the Air Force in 19 and stayed on active duty until 1990. So when I got out of the service, my dad, who was the consummate salesman and was a former Marine, and only a former now because he's no longer with us. They're very peculiar about that, the Marine Corps is. And I had a great love, one, for people, and for automobiles, and I love to talk. Right. So my dad says, look, we need to get you in sales somehow, some way. And since you love cars, do you have any interest in going to work at a car dealership? At that time, my dad was the general manager of the Honda store in my hometown of Rock Hill, South Carolina. You probably picked up on the Southern accent here and a handful of words that I've told you here so far. So I said, yeah, look, I'd be thrilled to go give out a whirl. So this was in the early days of Hendrick Automotive Group. So I went to work for Honda there in my hometown, learned about selling cars, learned about F&I, learned about all the things that you have to learn to be successful there in the auto retail business. Great organization. I can't say enough things about the Hendrick Group. They were firm believers in training and making sure that people, you know, could answer customer questions and could do it in really a very compliant way. And they were very serious about that. And I thought that was great because, you know, I didn't want to be a part of anything that was even the slightest bit shaky. And they were anything but. But so I was thrilled to death to work for Hendrick for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, 1996, a little small startup company that nobody really gave much of the time of day showed up in Charlotte, North Carolina by the name of Carmack, showed up on Independence Boulevard in North Carolina. And I said, you know what? They are doing something interesting here. So I went up there to take a look at what Carmack was all on and was blown away, one, by the amount of vehicles that were there and having the sense of customer appreciation that you get walking through the, and I knew right there that this was going to be a place for me. So I left Hendrick, went to work for Carmack as a part-time sales consultant.
Wow.
Found out I had a background in F&I, and they were interested in a used car leasing test back then, because, you know, at that point in time, Carmack, so we had 11 stores.
Wow.
Open actually at that point. And they'd never done anything like used car leasing or anything along those lines in a CarMax store. So I had a very unique skill set. The gentleman who I wound up going to work for, who I worked for him for 21 years until he retired, actually came from the automobile industry as well. So they hired me to go with the used car leasing. That worked out really well, only for us to find out over time that it wasn't repeatable unless you have somebody who has a skill set. And, you know, as a general rule, CarMax just didn't hire any people that came from the auto retail. It was a culture. Well, it really was a clash for them. So the used car leasing was only successful if you could do it. And we did it in a small number of locations for a very short period of time. And then they rolled up the sidewalk on that one and decided we were going to do something a little bit different, which was create a centralized finance office, run this thing out of our offices down in Atlanta, Georgia, where CarMax Auto needs. So I went from selling cars part-time for them to running the used car leasing test to running what turned into a centralized F&I shop that we did there at CarMax. And my career grew from there, from simply doing the F&I functions there, our version of it, which really was just, you know, teaching people how to rehash deals and teaching, you know, how to sign up on stipulations and doing these kind of things, which is where I got all my introduction to the remote workforce, doing these things like that. And then it evolved into fraud and risk mitigation because, you know, I was in a very unique position. At CarMax, we operated not only as the retailer, but also as the captive finance source, but we also managed the third party financial relationship with the outside finance company. So I literally got to be in the middle of all three of those things. And that's what I, you know, the next 20 years of my life doing there until the time that I retired in 2020. So I saw us grow from 11 stores selling 100,000 cars a year to the, in 2020 when I retired, it was 226 locations and we sold 832,000 cars.
My gosh.
And another 500,000 in wholesale. So we went from being really small and doing really small really well, to being really big and being able to scale with all of it. So it was a great opportunity for me to the skills that I needed to transition after retirement into a job like this.
Correct. Yeah. Wow. What a cool journey, Jeff. I mean, just being able to be a part of something that, I mean, CarMax is a household name now, you know, and when you got involved with it, probably very few people knew about who CarMax was, right? And so
It was very funny. The gentleman that I worked with there at Hendrick Honda there in my hometown, when I told him where I was going and what I was going to do, they said, "You'll be back in 90 days." They said, "That car makes sense. It's not going to catch on. People like haggle. People want to get a good deal. People don't want to say, no, you can't negotiate this or you can't negotiate.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Golly.
Turns out not true. People do like to have a nice experience without a lot of the, some of the rubs that you can get in
That's
a traditional, transaction.
100%. 100%. There's no doubt about it. I've got another question. And then after that question, I know Ken has something lined up for you, but this is a question that this is one of my favorites. It might require the gears to crank just a little bit, but take your time.
Sure.
The question that I have, Jeff, is can you share a notable achievement or milestone that, throughout that long career that you had there in the auto world that you were particularly proud of? Something that really kind of stood out to you somewhere along that long journey?
Sure. Well, we had a lot because, obviously being car mechs, we are inventing everything as we go. I think if I had to look back on my whole career there and the thing that really, when I look back at it and go, man, that was really a big deal. I had no idea how big a deal was. But I can look back on it now and certainly the environment that I'm in now where everything is so decentralized.
Right? Yes.
I mean, not only the dealer groups, but the individual rooftops themselves really strikes me. When you're in the role of trying to fraud and risk, that the ability to be able to put your hands on the pulse of everything that goes on everywhere all day without any sort of, without having to really be conscious of what's going on, that you've really done something. So the thing that I look back at is a system that we put in place at CarMax that literally listened to every credit application and every transaction that was going on in real time. It would, the capability of identifying people that it had seen sending applications from a place over here and now they're sending applications from a place over here, and did the information line up between the application? These kinds of things. We call it the radar systems for risky activity detection and risk. And it literally listened to everything that went on there in real time. So if you're going to bolt on a fraud and risk mitigation program, this was the best that you could hope, because you literally knew everything that was going on at every store all day.
Wow.
And I think it was probably one of the things that I look back on and go, man, I was really glad I was part of that team that they put that thing together. Obviously, it was a huge effort to make all of that work, but
I bet
it really paid off.
Yeah.
And what they were able to do, or what we were able to do with it then, to minimize the risk that we face. Because, being a national retailer and in so many locations and selling so many cars, that without the ability to be able to in real time see what's going on everywhere, you're going to miss a lot of things. And the criminals know that.
Correct.
And they would get out there and try to take it back.
Wow. Incredible achievement. And what a cool project to be able to build out for, for such a big company like CarMax. Ken, you're That's up, amazing. My friend. What's on your mind? Jeff today?
Yeah. The thing that always struck me about CarMax was the fact that they put the building in front of the cars. Can you tell me when that happened and how that happened? Or,
well, I would say that was part of the original design. You go back to the beginning of CarMax, for those who may not be aware of this, CarMax was wholly owned by Circuit. And it was a Circuit brainchild. And really, they got started, or CarMax was born out of the idea that Circuit's as big as Circuit City could. Right? There was literally nowhere left to build any more stores than this guy. So they wanted to find some other venture to get into. Lots of great ideas came up, but the one they settled on clearly became the used car retail space, because it was so big and it was one that the barriers to entry weren't going to be all that great, because at that time there were lots of cars laying around, right? Like it had been a couple of years short. But it was also an area where you could get in here and you could make a name for yourself, and you could be different by doing things that were much more customer friendly. That was the whole thing. How can we make this thing transparent and customer friendly and make this honest? This is the way we used to speak to people. Was, we want this to be like walking into our Circuit City and you're coming to buy an appliance, right? So you will be coming here. You're looking to buy a refrigerator. We've got 22 refrigerators here. How much they cost. You get that one. You know that's what you're going to pay. It's the way they wanted CarMax to be. So part of what they did to ensure, and I thought this was just a stroke of genius for whoever thought this, they wanted to make sure that we could get in front of consumers and tell them that story. So the only way that you, and because consumers were accustomed to going into a traditional car lot, driving up there where the cars were, okay, jumping out of their own car, looking at a car or two, looking around to see if anybody's coming to talk to them out there on the lot. And if they saw somebody coming, then they could jump in their car and they could get away.
Yep.
When they designed CarMax, they said, look, let's put the cars over here where you can't get to them. You can't drive out there to them at all. So obviously that helps you with, you know, potential insurance claims, those things from people having accidents in your parking lot and this sort of thing. But if you force everybody through the building, then you have to make a turn to get out to where the cars are. You have an opportunity to be able to stop a consumer and say, hi, welcome to CarMax. Let me take just 2 minutes of your time, tell you what this is all about. Then we're going to turn you loose and let you go out there and look at all the cars. Well, then by doing that, the consumers, all of a sudden, their guard would let down. As soon as you tell them, here, we're going to let you go look at whatever you want to, well, they actually do want you to come along. And open up because we kept all the cars locked out there too with the keys and lock boxes on the windows. So, I mean, it was just literally little things that made it really a great experience for the consumers because you can run back inside and get keys, do this kind of thing. But also there was no pressure involved. Right. People really, they gravitated toward it. But that's where the design for the building came from was how can I get in front of the consumer, keep them away from the cars, and slow them down long enough to explain why we're doing.
That is the coolest story I've heard in a long time.
See, it seems like I spent my whole career trying to get people in the building. And CarMax sort of did it just through finquity with setting the place up correctly.
And that's right.
It's pretty awesome.
You can do with floor plan design.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm sorry, Ken, let me just ask this one question and then you go into that. Is there any kind of for lack of a better term, a patent on that process, Jeff, and the way that's set up so that others can't replicate it? Or because I don't really see that anywhere else. It seems like
as far as I know, that there's no intellectual property on the laid out of the buildings and other things. Look, one of the things that you find, there's been a couple of people, because remember back in this time, this was 97 when I came to work here, AutoNation was full blown trying to build the big superstores like CarMax was, only they continued to run them like a traditional dealership. You know, which is not how we get things there. But no, as far as I know, there's nothing that would preclude somebody from doing that. It's just, you know, are you willing to make that investment to change your sales processes and do this kind of thing? Most people just aren't willing to.
Right.
Because what they've done has worked for a long time in the environment that they do it in, which is fine.
Makes sense.
Great.
Go ahead, bud. What else you got?
So, it's cool you transition from used cars to new cars, car stores, right? Because the TAG. Now, that's a brilliant acronym, too, TAG.
It is.
Right? It's awesome.
And our logo here, got a little car.
Yeah. Love it. So you transition from used to new, and I'm wondering now, and we're midway through 23, and you're talked to a lot of the principals there at the dealerships in the Triton Group. What are the concerns right now? What problems are you guys trying to solve or the new car dealers trying to solve?
There's a couple of things that are very prevalent out there for anybody in the retail space right now. One is availability of vehicle. You know, they're just now starting to see inventory levels starting to come back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now you've got to get out of the mode of being, well, look, I've got one truck here, like eight people who's willing to pay the most for it. Sort of thing to now I'm got 10 trucks and 6 customers and we're having to get back to actually selling a little bit. Good problem to have, right? Cause that you got some inventory to be able to sell, but now you got to dust off your salesmanship chop and get out there and do something. The thing that really is starting to become a concern for everybody. And this is where we come in within the auto financial services piece is availability of credit. And then how expensive that the credit is now. Because you look back over the, it would seem like every month, federal rate hikes and the buy rates on everybody's consumer offers going up. So you take a combination of fewer vehicles, people paying more for them. Now the money's more expensive as well. It creates a real squeeze for the consumer out there. So that's one of the things that's really a concern for, you know, for everybody now is, can consumers afford the payment because of, you know, the lack of availability of inventory, which, you know, starts slowly to fix itself. But also, you know, what the finance companies are having to charge in buy rates, you know, to the consumers because of the cost of them getting them at this point. So credit has gotten, and, you know, obviously as inflation goes up, so does losses out there, you know, for our finance companies. And, you know, people are going delinquent more often. People are defaulting more often. And so it's become kind of a perfect storm of rates going to continue to rise and credit availability continuing to shrink. So it's very concerning.
Yeah. Those are huge issues for sure.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the elephant in the room right now, right? And we've got a lot of economic uncertainty out there. And so everyone's got these things on their mind. So I can certainly understand that. You got another follow-up question, Ken?
Well, you know, going back to CarMax a little bit, it seems like they started with some pretty impactful innovations like no haggle pricing, the way of the layout of the dealership. What did you see them over time? You know, what other, you know, how did they evolve with the times as, you know, cause that was 97, right? And it does seem like the car business hasn't changed that much, you know, maybe.
Right. No. The thing, I think that they have done a really great job with, and we were in full blown transition mode in 2020 when I retired from there. Is trying to make sure that we could meet the customer where the customer wanted to be met, whether it's 100% online, deliver the car to your home, some, or, you know, the traditional customer who wants to come in, drive five cars, think about it, bring finance from outside, use finance from inside. We wanted to make sure that we were able to accommodate whatever the consumer wanted and however they wanted to interact with us. Oh, yeah. Again, back in 19 and 20 and 21, we were making the transition to these, what we call customer experience centers. So you had people who were dedicated and trained to do nothing but the digital interface for the consumer, whether it be email, whether it be chat, whether it be text, whether it be phone call, these kind of things, as opposed to trying to have people at the store level that were good at all of it. So we had people who were very good on the phones, very good with email, and we had other people who were very good with demonstration in face-to-face interaction. And we let people gravitate towards the thing that best suited their personalities and their skills. And I thought that was a great use of the human capital that they had because, you know, you wind up giving the consumer the best experience possible. So if they want us to do everything online, that's great. We can do it. You want us delivered to your home, we can do it. You want to come into the store, we got you covered there. You want to transfer vehicles from one place to another. That's one of the pieces of the secret sauce there is once you reach a certain size and you got the availability to put your entire inventory online and let consumers know you can move from here to here and within this radius is free. And we can have it there tomorrow. It does something to people's mindset. So they don't have to, you know, look at something here. Well, that car is blue, but you've got a red one over here that I would really like to have. And it's only an hour away and you can get it here tomorrow. If you'll transfer that car here to me, I want to come look. that's a real game changer.
That's awesome.
Definitely. That's great stuff. Go ahead, Ken. What were you going
to say? Yeah. No, I mean, it's been an awesome conversation. I mean, I've been in the car business, you know, as long as you have.
Why are you so much younger than me? I don't understand. You must have started.
I'm not that much younger than you, actually, but no, it's been an awesome conversation. I started with a little, you know, working for my dad at a car lot and his buyer payer dealership. And I just love history. So
yeah,
I feel like I got a little history lesson today on the big boys in the auto industry. Yeah.
Sure. There's no doubt about it. Let's start wrapping it up here a little bit, Jeff. I just have a couple more questions here as we start to wind down. Obviously, a lot of what you guys are talking about is kind of the evolution of the auto industry and the things that have changed. And there's no denying the fact that technology has played an enormous role in these changes, especially since the 90s till today. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that in the mid 90s, there was no internet. Nothing. So, I mean, it's just, and now here we've got, you know, ChatGPT and all this crazy AI stuff. And I mean, things have moved so quickly. And I just can't help but to mention the fact that TurboPass is obviously playing a big role in, I think, the evolution of how the technology is being handled within the auto space. Could you just speak a little bit on your experience with TurboPass and maybe what you like about it and why you chose to kind of be a part of it as an advisor?
Absolutely. So when I was mentioning earlier, the transition that we had from doing everything at the store level to moving to these big customer experience centers and being able to meet the consumer where the consumer wanted us to meet them to train business. One of the things that, you know, from a know who your customer is sort of a mindset, I really saw some of the things that TurboPath offered at that point, and the suite of tools has gotten clearly better over time. I saw a real opportunity there for some identity validation and things that we can. And certainly, when you think about to get as much of the transaction done before you have to physically interact with a consumer, certainly when you have proofs that are required, income and residence and these kinds of things, was there a way to be able to get your hands on these things quicker and easier than having a consumer either trying to send to you from home or scan an email and these kind of things? And the thing that I really wanted to try to get away from was when people have to get in and do manual calculations on income and other such things, right? And miss some of the nuances of it, but every single company is a little bit different. They all look a little different. And I thought if there was a tool that was out, one could be very easy for to you that they could give us the information that we need, that we could take and send information directly to a finance source without me having to rely on somebody that either may have a really great skill set or a really bad one, looking at documentation and being able to sign off on it and say, yes, this is good. This meets requirement. If I could take that person out of this process that's directed to finance source and let them tell me whether it was going to be good or not, that was going to be a win for me. Because one thing I would tell is people get good at what they do a lot of, right? But right. If you're a typical manager in a store, you may not look at documentation from a consumer once every couple of days. And if you take days off and you come back, you haven't seen it in a few days, and your attuneness to one, hokey, as I like to call them, hokey documents, things that maybe either cooked up themselves or downloaded from a novelty website or some of the other things that are out there, is really not that good. But if you're doing these kinds of things every day, and this is all you do every day, and I thought that was going to be a game changer for us in the auto, because that allows you, certainly with some of these remote tools like with TurboPay, where you can have people remotely doing these things if you need them to do it. Or you can bypass this altogether and go straight to the finance, which yep. is a super alternative. So I definitely wanted to get TurboPass installed at CarMax before I retired, but did not get done before then. So here I am. Like, I see the value, right? I see the value. And I've been friends and acquaintances with many of the guys on the TurboPass team for years. And it really kept up with what they've been doing and how things are going for them in the marketplace. And so when they approached about this, I absolutely, look, I believe in what you guys are doing. I see a universal application for this thing, even outside of auto retail.
Right.
How many other avenues of business can you make something like this easy for a consumer to use and something that makes them feel better and more trusting about the entire process? Of yep. what's going on here. And you reduce errors. You make fraud. There's literally no downside to this.
Yes, correct. That's right. Man, very well said, Jeff. Beautifully spoken. And we both, Ken and I, really appreciate all your feedback. And you know what? We may have to bug you a little bit about getting one of your little CarMax friends over as a future guest on the TurboPass USA podcast. So don't be surprised if that comes down the line somewhere. I want to close with this on a lighter note. What does Jeff Griffith do when he's not working? So you almost retired. You got this close to retiring and then they pulled you back, but you seem to be really enjoying yourself. But what do you do if you're, you know, it's a weekend and you finally logged out of the computer and you got some free time? And who do you typically spend that free time with?
So it's a handful of things. So all of my hobbies begin with the letter G. Okay. There's golf, there's guitars, and there's guns.
Nice. Love it.
I can't figure out how to get emotional in there with the letter G. You're going to have to help me with that one. I do love to ride in my, do love to ride on a motorcycle, but I play golf anything. You know, it's age appropriate. I have a lot of friends. We owe out there to give us opportunity to ride around, talk trash to each other and enjoy some fermented while we're on the plane.
That is fantastic, my friend. Ken, you got any final parting words before we let Mr. Jeff get back to his Triple G activities?
No, we really appreciate you on the show, man. It was awesome. Love talking to you. Love hearing your Southern accent too, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Great. Ken and I, we talk all the time. He calls me up and I bean his ear for much longer than he ever intended.
I love it. I could listen to you all day.
And he listens. Well, I got a meeting in 45 minutes. Can I die off the phone before I don't know. It's one of the drawbacks of working from home all the time. So the only person I got to talk to around here is a doll. And he's left the room. So when I get the opportunity to talk to somebody, I like to take full advantage of it. Kids into the ring from time to time. Good. I enjoy
it. All the time. I love talking.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeff, you are the epitome of a Southern gentleman. And we really do appreciate your time today and all your feedback. And you've left us with some great information and some golden nuggets. And who knows, we might have to invite you back here another time one day.
Well, I'd love to join. Glad to help again. Fabulous product. I think it's got a very long runway across many different senses of the retail world. That, you know, this is just the beginning, going after, you know, what's happening in auto. So thrilled to be part of the team.
Fantastic. I think that about does it, gentlemen. And that's a wrap for another episode of the TurboPass USA podcast. We will catch you here next time.
Thank you for listening to the TurboPass USA podcast.
To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, please visit TurboPassUSA.com/podcast.